Gates Estates Sotheby's International Realty has an amazing team of locally experienced and knowledgeable agents that exceed the high standards and qualifications necessary to assure the ultimate goal of assisting clients buying or selling homes throughout the entire Napa Valley and beyond. Whether now or sometime in the future, remember to consider Gates Estates Sotheby's International Realty, the luxury brand with the local focus that you deserve for any real estate related matters. Visit GatesEstatesSIR.com to connect when it makes sense for you, or call 707-944-0888. That's 707-944-0888.
DRE number is 0187-4685.
Narvaez Insurance Services brings you 40 years of combined experience to protect small businesses. As an independent brokerage, Narvaez Insurance Services selects the most appropriate coverage for the best value for any insurance need from different insurance carriers. Business liability, workers' comp, umbrella policies for maximum protection, and of course, auto, home, renter's insurance. Also offering DMV services for your title transfers and renewing registration. With Narvaez Insurance Services, you can avoid the long lines at the DMV. Contact Narvaez Insurance Services for a competitive quote by calling 707-927-3204. Give Bernie Narvaez a call at 707-927-3204.
It's time for All Things Napa with your host, Lee W. Miller, a community leader, full-time realtor, and a serial networker passionate about promoting local businesses. Let's learn what's new in the Napa business scene today.
Good morning, Napa Valley. Time for another edition of All Things Napa. I am your host, Lee W. Miller. This is the show that is all about letting you, the audience, get to know our business guest on both a personal and a professional level, and make that so compelling that you want to go do business with them. Happy to have in studio today Tom Murray and David Mitchell, the owners of Napa Valley Vacuum and Sewing.
David's the owner. I'm just his faithful sidekick for the last 21 years.
All right. That was Tom weighing in real quickly. He didn't want any false information to get out there.
Full of a lot of that.
We're going to be hearing from Tom and David here momentarily. We also have the one and only Kelly P. Norris, the broker owner of Gates Estate Sotheby's International Realty. And so we'll be talking with Kelly, getting to know him. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning. And by the way, I'm not the only owner.
But you're the only owner here. Okay,
that's correct.
Go ahead and clear that little thing too.
I'm one of the owners. So Lisa and Mike Bertolucci, and also my wife.
That's called community property.
Yes.
And all four of you lend special and unique talents to the success of that business. So you're the only one here in studio this time. Maybe we'll have to get Lisa and Debbie and Michael in at some point in the future.
So. Sure, that'd be great.
All right. So, with no further ado, David, Tom, I'm hoping that you guys can recommend a good quality vacuum, because from my experience, they all suck.
Boom. Yes, they do.
I told you.
But they're usually picking up. It might suck.
Yeah, business is always picking up, right?
Okay. I'm sure you have vacuum cleaner jokes too. So, when I first met you guys a couple of years ago, it was when I brought my vacuum in to be repaired. And ever since I picked it up from you, it sucks even more.
Yeah, you're welcome. That's a good thing,
though. All right, I got one more.
Okay, here we go.
And then we'll go on. What's the difference between a Harley and a vacuum cleaner?
Something about the dirt bag on the back.
Yes, right? the positioning of the dirt bag.
Yeah, cool.
And now I'm going to get beat up by all my friends who are Harley owners. Because they're dirt bags? Yes, no. So welcome, guys. Happy to have you in studio today. My new vacuum cleaner is working marvelously.
I was going to stick my neck out and say, unprompted. How is it doing?
Yeah, it's not sucking. No, it is sucking. We flip-flop on the context of the word. So, yeah. So I met you guys a couple of years ago, brought an old vacuum in. You instilled another couple of years of life into it.
Yeah.
And then we got new carpet, and we weren't allowed to use that vacuum anymore. So.
Yeah, we do a lot of repairs, sales also, but vacuum sewing machines, we do...
Oh, we've been working on mixers lately. We've been working on air purifiers to heaters. Anything with a cord, we tell people, bring it in. We'll put a screwdriver to it.
You know, that's interesting because why is it that all vacuum shops are vac and sew? Why isn't it not vacuums and blenders?
The only thing I've heard, and I could maybe come up with, is back in the old days, the husbands used to go to the salt mines. Or the coal mines, and the ladies would stay home and sew and clean. And so automatically, if they're going to go to a store, they might as well have appliances or products that they can use.
And they're heavy use items as well. They're not taken care of when they're used.
Vacuum
cleaners are rammed into walls, and sewing machines are sewing through things they're not supposed to.
Yeah,
breaking. People don't know exactly how to use them. So I think they just stuck them together.
That's as good of an answer as any I've ever heard. So yeah, we'll go with that one.
There's another answer I didn't want to say over the microphone, but you have men's work and you have. Yeah, but I can't go there.
Yeah, you didn't want to say that. It's probably good that you didn't say that.
Was David.
Well, I'm the one that vacuums in the house. I'm the only one that vacuums, so I can probably get away a little bit with that.
No one else has touched it. I'm totally with you. I am the dishwasher at home, and I am the vacuum guy. And frankly, it's because I do it better. I do it better than anybody. I do it better than a house cleaner. At least from my perspective. So, so tell us a little bit about your guys' background, your affinity to Napa, how long you've been here, and how long you've been in business, things like that.
Well, the first year the Queen of the Valley was open, I arrived.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
1958, and went through the schools that aren't called the same school anymore, Lincoln Elementary, Ridgeview, still has Ridgeview sign on it too, by the way, Napa High, Napa College. But pretty much born and raised here, little stint in Salinas, but when my sister was born. But yeah, came up through the years here in Napa.
Wow, I meet more and more native Napans, and it's very impressive.
Yeah, we're called Napkins.
Napkins. I've heard that.
Yeah. Okay.
So, how long you been in business?
Well, the business actually started in 1957.
So you were one.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I wasn't there yet.
Oh, okay.
He was an embryonic entrepreneur.
Yeah, any fetus will work on a sewing machine.
Actually, the man I bought the business from is another Napkin. He was actually born in Monticello, which is covered by Lake Berryessa now.
Okay.
And he actually got hurt in a motorcycle accident in 1943, I think, a month before he got his papers to go into the war.
Oh, wow.
So in recovery, he broke his back. In recovery, he took lessons on how to repair small appliances and then messed around for many years and then finally started to get a business going in 1957 and just expanded from there. And I came to work for him in 1973, sweeping floors and stocking bags. I was still at Ridgeview back then.
Well, 73, you were what, 13, 14?
Yeah, about there. Yeah, delivering newspapers, and he offered me a job, so I just took it. Been pretty much ever since. A little break.
Same location?
I'm sorry?
Same location?
No, actually, we were down across from Buttercream until 76. Then we moved to where Cole's Chop House is now, and down Main Street.
Really?
Yeah. And we're there 20 years, and now we're on Jefferson, right near Pueblo, but right next to Green's Cleaners. Everybody knows where Green's Cleaners is pretty much. But 22 years now.
So to what do you attribute your success? Because that's very impressive business legacy. You obviously are doing something right.
Tom, what are we doing right?
I was hoping you'd ask because this is probably the biggest advertising that we've done.
This advertising?
You're listening to it right now. Because what we do is we treat people fairly and like family. It's true. We have celebrities to Joe on the street, and we treat them exactly the same. And I always think if somebody was speaking to my mother or my father, taking care of their equipment, I would want them to be treated the way we treat people. Our repeat customers are tremendous. The word of mouth is right there. You do the right thing. You take care of people. If there's a problem, you take care of it. And then they come back. Truly do.
That's not rocket science, is it?
It truly is not.
Yeah.
I'm just back from a trip to Pennsylvania. And back there, nobody goes to chain stores. Nobody goes, I need to go to Best Buy for this or someplace for that. They go to mom and pop shops.
Right.
If I need an auto part, they go to a small auto part shop. If they eat at a restaurant, they don't eat at McDonald's. They go to Booyah Burgers. You know,
Booyah Burgers?
Booyah Burgers. I actually...
That's a great
long
name.
Distance, it is.
Long I used to say Booyah all the time.
Go to Booyah Burgers if you're in Clark Summit, Pennsylvania. But the point is that these people, you know, it's community. And so they know mom and dad need a couple bucks for this. I do the same thing when I go to guitar shops.
Right.
I don't go to the chains to buy my things. I buy my guitar picks down the street from the guys here in town at Napa Music Supply. So
I have found that what you just described is very prevalent in Napa as well. And that's what this show is all about, to help boost local businesses. And I kind of struggle sometimes with the fact that there are locally owned franchises. You know, that individual that owns that franchise is a Napa citizen, and, you know, yeah, they got the bigger name on it, but it's certainly not a big box store. So there's kind of that back and forth there. But I'm kind of obsessed with promoting local businesses, and that's kind of why I do this show. It's just, A, it's kind of fun, but we need to stick together, probably now more than ever, because so many businesses are closed. Depending on when somebody might be listening to this, if it's podcast 6 months from now, they'll wonder, what's he talking about?
Well, hopefully. Let's hope that.
Right. I'm not going to say the word. we're going to probably get into it sooner or later. But so what brands do you offer at the store, and why do you offer those brands?
Okay, well, we used to be a big Eureka and Hoover store, but they've gone cheap, bagless in your Costco's, Walmart's, online, all that. So we don't have many of those anymore, but we have we have big gamut. We have Miele's. We have Ricard's, who's a big seller. Sanitaire's, Household.
Is it Miele?
Miele, yeah, Miele.
Okay.
Sheila Miele. That's how I tell people remember it, because they say it all kinds of ways.
It looks like Miele.
Yeah, it does. In fact, that's a funny story. I'll tell you in a minute. We have Sanitaire's.
In the sewing machine world, we sell new home sewing machines.
Oh, yeah.
We also work with chemical cleaning products as well as any accessories that come and go with vacuum cleaners. And David was mentioning the Hoovers and Eurekas, and what I call those is temporary solutions to permanent problems, meaning carpets are going to need to be cleaned, floors are going to need to be cleaned. The machines you use on them, if you want to spend $50, you will get $50 out of that machine, and then you'll bring it to us and ask why this isn't running as well. Now, the machines that we sell, the Ricard's, the Miele's, Sheila Miele, these are pieces of equipment that we expect 15 to 20 years worth of work out of. You can't say that to most anything else, even
right.
The cars we're driving today.
Right.
And if we treated our cars the way we treat our vacuums, meaning not getting them serviced, not changing filters, they wouldn't last nearly as long as that.
Right.
But these products are well built. The Miele's are made in Germany, German engineered from the top to the bottom. And so we see good things from the companies that we work with. And Ricard, we've worked with, I've been with David for over 20 years. And the machines that we still work on that I've sold people 20 years later are the Miele's and the Ricard's, because they just do the work and they take it. And we do it to our commercial customers, to our home-based customers, to, you know, small, big businesses, and any place in between.
And if you think of it, vacuums aren't really an appliance. They're a tool. You can have an appliance you can cook in the stove or refrigerator, but they stay there, don't get moved around, they get banged around. A tool, you take a chainsaw out and it gets beat up or whatever. And some of these machines are treated brutally. And the average life of an upright vacuum nowadays is less than 3 years. Well, that's horrible.
Yeah.
Because they're selling machines 6 months, a year later. They usually plan for a year because that's just out of warranty. Darn. Then the people throw them away.
Almost like they do it on purpose.
Yeah, I don't know. That's called a name. and then if you do the math on that, though, I mean, if you're spending $75 to $150 on a machine every 2 years, you know, sometimes the last 4 years. And sometimes people come in, I've had a Bissell for 8 years. I said, you know what that's like? Someone driving a Model A down the road that they purchased originally. They just don't want them to last that long, and they don't last that long. So, if, you know, as Californians, we want things to last, I would think, because, every time I go down to the recycle center, there's Bissell, Hoovers, Eurekas. I'm not saying they're all bad, nope, but they're always down there being recycled.
Interesting.
And so if you want to spend a little bit more money to get a good machine to last a little longer, it'll pay for itself.
So the Miele, and what was the other one that you said?
Ricard?
Yeah. You didn't talk to me about that. Is that because I have
some companies make carpet? Well, they make, like, for instance, I like the Miele canisters and power teams better, and I like the Ricard uprights better.
Okay.
So it depends on what you're looking for. Then you come down, we can show you a couple different models, put it in your hands so that you clean the carpets as much as you can down there. That way you don't have to pay anyone else to do it.
No,
Bring your wife. Bring your husband.
I thought of that when you said, go ahead and try it out.
Yeah.
There's a spot over there.
There's a carpet over here, right? It's dirty. Come on over. But then, you know, you can make your decision from there, and I'll just show you what maybe I would recommend for you, like I did for you.
Yeah?
Yeah. That worked out.
That's a good thing, too, because if we had chosen the wrong one, it's horrible for our carpet.
Yeah, right. There are some machines you should not use on certain carpets, like Berber and wool. You don't want to use an aggressive brush. In fact, what I hear all the time is they come in and say, David, if I don't use a rotating brush on these carpets, especially with dogs or cats, they don't clean. Well, what you need is a gentle brush to whisk the stuff up without hurting and burring and ripping up the carpet. And some of these manufacturers out there, the carpet manufacturer will void the warranty on your carpet if you use certain machines. I'm not sure if I should say the name or not. It's big. It starts with a D and sounds like Mike Tyson.
Well, and then the idea is that these what we call the lower-tiered companies, aren't making machines for every type of carpet. They're making a machine for every person. And so it's easy to sell a machine to a person out of a box when you put shiny things on it and you can't ask questions.
And but pretty colors, too.
Exactly.
Very pretty
exactly.
colors.
And the other thing we need to mention is that
mine's red. My Miele was
purple, yellow, light blue.
There were times when the Ricard vacuums were using colors from Lexus. They were using some of their color schemes.
Yeah, Fiat, Porsche.
Yeah.
Interesting there, too.
I'm not saying that the D word's bad for everybody, because there's sometimes that people need a bagless machine, especially if they have, like I had a guy come in, that had three dogs that shed like crazy. Well, that's a bagless person right there. But normally, the bag machines have better filtration, last longer, less work you have to do on them, because these filters, you constantly have to clean them, replace them. It's actually more time and energy and money involved in a bagless if you do it right.
Yeah.
But no, that bagless, there are some people that need them, but most people don't.
It's true. And anybody with allergies is doing themselves a disservice by using a bagless machine, because the filtering systems on those are made to protect the motors on those machines, not necessarily the people of those machines. And so they're not being taken care of, and so they're just, you know, filling things up. Your Miele, for example, puts out cleaner air than what went into it. And that I can tell you with ease. And so that's a good thing.
So I could use it as a whole house filtration system.
Actually,
it'd be kind of annoying after a while, but I would
say yes. We'll see how long this thing lasts.
I had some people during the fire come in for the Miele and got a filter and new package of bags to clean the air in their house because they ran out of air filtration systems.
Wow.
And yeah, air purifiers.
All kinds of fascinating information you guys are telling us.
Vacuums are fascinating if you think about it.
Yeah.
Well, these are just the what we call the household units. David also works on and installs central vacuums in homes that are piped through the walls, and so those are also things that need servicings and adjustments and sometimes additions, movements of outlets. That can happen there. I've branched out over the last year and a half from the shop, doing commercial sewing machines.
Okay.
So if there's any upholstery shops in town that need a little help with their sewing machines, and I'm also finding that there's cool little businesses around manufacturing things like cowboy boots and clothings and just that you would never think that are out there. But I go into these rooms and there'll be five sewing machines and four people working them, and they're making party things, benches, and
wow.
It's just awesome. It's really cool to see. When people see the sign Napa Valley Vacuum and Sewing, that there's a bigger avenue of things that we do than just vacuums and sewing these days.
And a little correction on the name we have. We don't do sewing. Some people call it me to hem their pants or whatever. I have no clue. We know how to. Oh, Tom, actually, it's his expertise. He knows how to work on them, but. Have a sew, do something artistic? Oh, no. Yeah. No,
I say that all
can't
the time.
Can't do that. So in the name,
it's
kind of
as much time as you spent with those machines that something would rub off and you could hem a pair of pants or something.
Oh, I could probably get by, but you don't want to look real close at it. That's
right.
We used to make these silly things to to goof around. I have to test the sewing machine, I sew enough to test the sewing machine. But at least a couple times a week, I'll tell somebody, what you do is the art form. What I do is the mechanical side. I can make the machine do what it's supposed to. You have to make the machine do what it's supposed to do.
Okay.
Yeah, two ends of the brain, mechanical and artistic. We only have one between the two of us.
I do not have the mechanical. My toolbox is a pen and a checkbook. I just pay somebody else to do it most of the time.
That's what we're there for. We do a lot of repairs there too. I mean, we just do it. If you walk in the shop, I've had people come in and say, wow, they have these stores anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're used to going in all nice and clean displays, everything. Well, we work on machines. We get our hands dirty. A lot of the business is that, and people just walk in with the jaws down and say, wow, people still repair vacuums and stuff? They don't realize
if they're buying a $100 vacuum cleaner.
Right, throw them away. Right. Why would you get a good one and last?
It's like a printer. You don't repair printers most of the time. So.
Yeah, right. Yes, just get them and buy the machine for cheap and buy the ink for 20 times what you think they cost.
Right. The ink is the bags.
Yeah. Right.
So. So is there any other thing? We got just a couple minutes left. Anything you want to make sure that our listeners hear about Napa Valley Vac and Sew, sewing?
Well, we have free estimates on pretty much everything. The only thing we charge $20 for is shampooers, sergers, and heaters. We do heaters also. But otherwise, free estimates. It takes us a little while sometimes. We're a busy shop. Make two, 3 days, sometimes a week later, we can get back to you with a free estimate, let you know exactly what's happening, if it's worth it, how much a new one is, if something looks like or sounds like it's about to happen to it, maybe not put that money into it, save for another machine. And we do actually do a lot of mom-and-pop type janitorial businesses.
Oh, okay.
And so people can get credit with us pretty easily. They just come in, sign for it, go, pay me at the end of the month. So we do that too. A lot of people around are doing their own.
Yeah, and that extends the life of their very important equipment for their livelihood.
It truly does because they will come in with the junk.
Yeah.
And if their business really wants to survive, they're going to have to be serious about the equipment they use for it. And so David gives them a chance.
Yeah.
And usually that's not just off the street and we don't know you kind of thing. Usually it's coming from word of mouth from somebody else's business that has recommended to come in and talk to us. And because without folks having businesses and doing things, it's coming around.
Right, right.
And so I can honestly say, working for David for the last, I rose my two boys working for him.
Nice.
You do now one. What's you that? Still have one boy working there, and
son comes there. His daughters work there. It is truly a family business.
That's what this community is all about. Yeah. Gentlemen, I thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks for sharing
some pretty good information about what you do and why you do it so well. Appreciate that. We're going to be right back.
Narvaez Insurance Services brings you 40 years of combined experience to protect small businesses. As an independent brokerage, Narvaez Insurance Services selects the most appropriate coverage for the best value for any insurance need from different insurance carriers. Business liability, workers' comp, umbrella policies for maximum protection, and of course, auto, home, renter's insurance. Also offering DMV services for your title transfers and renewing registration. With Narvaez Insurance Services, you can avoid the long lines at the DMV. Contact Narvaez Insurance Services for a competitive quote by calling 707-927-3204. Give Bernie Narvaez a call at 707-927-3204.
Gates Estates Sotheby's International Realty has an amazing team of locally experienced and knowledgeable agents that exceed the high standards and qualifications necessary to assure the ultimate goal of assisting clients buying or selling homes throughout the entire Napa Valley and beyond. Whether now or sometime in the future, remember to consider Gates Estates Sotheby's International Realty, the luxury brand with the local focus that you deserve for any real estate related matters. Visit GatesEstatesSIR.com to connect when it makes sense for you, or call 707-944-0888. That's 707-944-0888.
DRE number 01874685.
We're going to continue talking with David and Tom, but mostly we're going to be talking to Kelly Norris here on All Things Napa. Welcome, Kelly.
Glad to be here.
It's a beautiful day to be alive, right?
It's unusual times, to say the least, yes.
All right. You got to snap out of that doldrum.
It's not doldrums. It's just unusual times.
Yeah, it is unusual times. So, as you heard in the intro, Kelly is the broker owner, one of the broker owners for Gates Estate Sotheby's International Realty. And
in Yountville.
In Yountville on 6550 Washington Street.
That's correct.
So this is a new thing for you, right?
Well, yeah, Gates Estates is new for me.
But real estate
is. No. As of March 1st is when we took over the company from Cindy Gates and Mike.
I've heard of her.
Yeah, I'm sure you have. And Mike Bertolucci is her son, and so it's staying in the family. And then they asked me to become a partner with them, and I did. So
another family-owned operation.
That's
here
correct.
In the Napa Valley. We can't get enough of those.
That's absolutely true, especially now.
So you've been doing this for a while, real estate. Tell us a little a bit about your background and your Napa connection.
So I started in real estate in 1988, right after I got out of the service and in the Midwest. And my wife and I, I was successful at that for a number of years. And then I met my wife. She's going to hate me because she's listening. I can't remember when I met her, but anyway, sometime in, I think it was 2006, 2005, 2006, we got married and, had our honeymoon out in Napa Valley. So, then fast forward to 2007 and 8 when the whole crisis with the mortgage market and all that stuff happened, and we had a chance, or she had a chance, to move to California, and because the job that she had at the time asked her to move here because she needed to be licensed in the state. So we moved here, and I resigned my position there, and then I started growing another real estate company here in Napa, and I did that up until a couple
March
of weeks
1st.
Ago.
Yeah. All right. So you've been doing this a long time. You know what you're doing. You're well known in the Valley as a broker, and you've grown someone else's business. Now it's time to do the same thing for your own, and I'm sure that having done that in the past, back in the Midwest, you're excited about this. And then all of a sudden, this little virus rears its ugly head. Your timing on acquiring the business.
Yeah. Well, we didn't know that was a problem at the time. And honestly, it's going to be a short-lived issue. It's certainly important that we stay calm about everything right now, you know. But it definitely is a disruptor. I've been in this long enough to know that, I went through 1988 was an interesting time, and then 1998 was another interesting time, and of course 2008 was another one, and so this sort of thing happens from time to time. You can't time those things. You just have to do what you have to do, and this is just another one of those times.
Sure, and as I've said before, say this thing lasts 3 months, you're talking about making a 30-year decision and a three-month cycle. Does that really weigh very much in the grand scheme of things?
Well, I mean, my father always told me, he says, never make a permanent decision based on a temporary problem.
That's what I was trying to
say. Yeah, it's and honestly, that's how I've in my business life, especially, in real estate, because, you have the good days and you have the bad days, the good years, the bad years, you just deal with all of them. But you have to keep that mindset. Otherwise, you spend your time stressing about things that you can't control.
Sure.
So the thing to learn about this time, though, however, is, this is probably going to be shorter time frame than other problems that we've had. The financial meltdown in 2008.
This is going to be resolved well faster than the 2008 issue.
Certainly. Well, we all hope so, especially. But, the way they're handling it and is going to be a temporary pain for all of us. And we certainly don't like it when we all have to shut our doors for any amount of time if you're in business. At the same time, it'll break the spine of this thing, and then we can get back to business as normal.
I think it's important that we talk about what the California Association of Realtors just introduced. And if you're in real estate, you know that there's a form for everything. There's like a form for forms, and this is ridiculous how many forms there are, especially back when my dad was a broker. Real estate contracts, even in the 70s, I think were like one, maybe two pages.
My first contract was two pages.
Yeah, and now what's it, 35, 40, 50? I don't know how many pages there are.
Well, yeah, I mean, it can be way more than that.
Right. So, but in light of our coronavirus issue that we're all dealing with now, the California Association of Realtors has just implemented yet another form, an opportunity they couldn't resist. But this one's actually a good intention for this one. I think the intent is good for all of the forms that they put out. But there are buyers that are panicking and making decisions to withdraw from contracts based on that temporary problem. And this new form gives basically a 30-day timeout, right? You want to expound on that?
Yeah. So, there's a lot of people that are in contract or looking to get into contract right now to homes. And I would, before I go into that form, I would probably want to encourage people to stay in there. There are ways to look at property virtually these days, and you can, I think, and it's also a good idea that if you are in the market, you have a lot less people to compete with if you're looking to buy a property right now. So it's certainly advantageous for them to stop and think before they react. But this form, talks to that specifically. And so if you're in contract, and I sent this out to my agents last night because it just showed up at like, I think, 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock last night, is it allows the buyer to extend their time frames by 30 days. And, and I think in this particular case, because things are shut down and people are worried about this and that, the title companies could be open. They could be shuttered for a number of days. The banking system could be an issue. So being able to kick the can down the road 30 days will buy them some time so that everybody can get back to business as usual.
Well, appraisers are already a huge problem because refis are through the roof right now. And a transaction that I'm working on right now, the appraiser, from the time that the lender first contacted the appraisal management company, they can't get an appraiser on the property for 3.5 weeks. That's what the backlog is. And part of it is some of the appraisers are freaking out and they don't want to go into anybody else's house for fear of catching the virus. So
yeah, there's a lot of those dynamics. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, home inspectors the same right. way. But, you know, the reality of it is that, and, you know, and by the way, I just want to say that people that are in contract, I mean, right now, the title companies are still open. And the banking system is functioning. As a matter of fact, they're in better condition now than they, way better condition than they were back in, you know, '08. You know, they're, so those things are not the issue. So the issue really is if, like, for instance, the government says that, you know, to close their doors for a number of days or whatever, just recording that transaction becomes an issue.
Right.
And so if you're in contract now and everything is great, then I encourage you to go ahead and close and go ahead and do what you have to do, and especially because the interest rates right now are super low. I mean, they're so low, it's shocking. You know, and you don't want to be one of those people that in 60 days you look back and go, oh man, I should have either refied or I should have bought that house as opposed to canceled because now the rates are back up again.
Right.
So you really have to think about that temporary situation before you make a permanent mistake.
Let's talk about this crisis, which has nothing to do with 08, but yet people are concerned some people are concerned that prices of real estate is going to go down because it went down in 08. But in 08, what was it, like 43% of all the mortgages were like subprime?
No, it's 83%.
Yeah.
Were subprime.
And,
I mean, it was insane. So this has nothing to do with that.
1%.
No, it's less. Yeah, it's less than 1%.
So that's what talk about how much different that is and why, regardless of the coronavirus crisis, there's not going to be a depreciation of real estate values.
Well, I don't want to say, you know, that we aren't going to see a blip, you know, because I'm not. You know, an economist or anything, but I can tell you that the dynamics are certainly different this time around. The banking system is fine. Our real estate and property values are sticking. They're, you know, I haven't seen any massive reductions or anything like that. But because this should be a shorter time frame, and the stimulus that the country is throwing into the system right now should prop up everything. And as a matter of fact, I think they're voting on it right now. In fact, that we might see some stimulus that could be really meaningful. I have my own thoughts around that, but
I was going to say, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean,
you could just host the show by yourself, and I just sit here and listen.
Well, you know, so I'll just go on my soapbox by saying that, you know, if the government would consider, as opposed to throwing a bunch of cash to the people out in the country, to just give mortgage holders 60 days, a 60-day holiday to pay their mortgage.
Deferment, basically.
Yeah, by deferment. And they can even put those two payments on the end of the mortgage so that they still have to pay it, but it doesn't have to throw the country into more debt. And then what they do is they take the money that they were going to send out to the people that aren't mortgage holders so they can pay their rent. So I personally think that'd be something to really consider.
In the grand scheme of things, by only throwing $1,000 or $2,000 to renters, by not having to give mortgage holders
Yeah,
cash.
And they could easily pull tax records across the country, find out who the mortgage holders are. They could work with the banking system and the financial institutions and give everybody a holiday on their mortgage, which would be an instantaneous shot in the arm economically for everyone, and they could wait this thing out and then take that money, and it's going to be a substantially less amount of money, and send that out to the people that are renting. Because the thing that I worry is that now all of a sudden, if someone loses their job temporarily, which they're going to get it back, but California now and other states are saying, well, you can't evict anyone for non-payment. If that happens, and I think it is happening, what does the homeowner or the mortgage holder of that rental property do? Well, they still have to pay their mortgage.
So their rental income.
Yeah, so they lose their rental income. So if you do it this way, or at least if they can consider it, it would solve a lot of problems overnight.
So how do we let them know that?
Well, you get on the radio on your show, and hopefully somebody in public office can run it up the flagpole.
Okay.
I mean, I've put it on Facebook, but I mean, you know, I mean, it's I just think it's almost so logical. It just, you know, it might just fly over the head of most people, but I think it would make sense to do at least consider it.
Right. All right. I think we've beat coronavirus to death here.
I hope so.
Let's not literally, just figuratively. So talk about Gates Estates and what you're going to do differently than when you were a broker before. You weren't the owner. You had bosses and you had ideas and things that you wanted to do, but for whatever reason, those weren't approved. Now there's no one in your way other than Debbie, Lisa, and Michael. but they trust you. So what are going to be some of the things you do differently at Gates Estates?
Well, honestly, I've my whole career, I can say from beginning to end, I've grown my knowledge along the way, and don't have any animosity towards anyone or any company. They have their own thing and their own agenda and the way they want to do things. They don't always equal what I want to do. And, you know, and then when Mike and Lisa approached me several months ago to discuss the possibility of me coming in, we had the same vision of bringing, really quality real estate services to our local community by local ownership. And we don't have to run up the flagpole and send emails and texts and have meetings upon meetings to have meetings and meetings. We just call each other, we make decisions, and it's done. I think from our local community standpoint, that is a huge thing that they can call, they can talk to someone that actually is a decision maker in the company, as well as our agents can come to me and they can come to them. And if there's an issue or a problem, they can get it solved immediately. I think the time frame between problem, assess problem, come up a solution for problem, and solving problems is completely shortened so much that it brings peace of mind to the process of real estate purchases and selling. And having local ownership is, in my opinion, is a huge, huge benefit.
Right. So we didn't talk about this, but I'm going to throw out right now that the third person to email me at leewmiller@gmail.com, we're going to provide them at no charge comparable market analysis. If you're curious what your home is worth, this is an opportunity, no obligation, and it's going to be about a 50-page document that has all of the comparable properties. And Kelly will produce this CMA directly. So, Kelly, how does somebody get in touch with you if they are wanting to take this conversation just a little bit further. Maybe they want to have a conversation with you about why someone should list with Gates Estates versus somebody else, or maybe they're a licensee and they're thinking about moving.
Well, they can call me directly on my cell phone, which is 707-294-8885. Or you can email me directly at kelly@gatesestatessir.com.
Pretty easy. Mm-hmm. All right. I wonder how many of those emails that we're going to get, but that's just a nice little, especially now, people are probably curious as to
values. Oh, no. I mean, my phone has been ringing off the hook even before this. I mean, people are, you know, I mean, they're sitting in their living rooms right now and they're going, you know, what am I going to do? And so... I think the longer this, you know, people stick around and in their homes and let this thing pass by, it's all going to get back to normal, maybe even be better.
I think so. You know, and we've talked about some of the people who are skittish and a couple contracts have been canceled, but we're kicking butt. And there's lots of new escrows. There's not lots of new listings just in the last couple of days. So,
yeah, as a matter of fact, we wrote two that, yesterday.
Yeah.
And one of them, I got to tell you, I hopefully I have enough time to tell the story, but we had one of our agents that he had a client in the city, in San Francisco, that got basically sequestered in his house based on all the things that have happened yesterday. I think it was yesterday or the day before. And he went out and did a virtual tour of a home that he was interested in on his iPhone. He actually walked around and did a FaceTime. Yeah, and you could do that with Skype, you know. And so he found that extremely valuable. So, I mean, so there's ways of looking at property and marketing property using technology. And they're ecstatic and they're probably looking to write a contract. So and the great thing about our contracts in this state is that you write a contract when you can keep the contingencies in there so that when this thing does blow over, you can then go in and physically look at the property and then decide if that's what you want to do or not.
Or write that offer subject to,
yeah,
and, you know,
exactly.
All of those things.
So nothing is stopping. As a matter of fact, the smart people right now are staying engaged. They can do it electronically. They can do it via text, Skype, FaceTime, phone, email, whatever. And we can still help those people in an amazing way.
You know, and it's been a seller's market for at least 4 or 5 years, perhaps even longer. And this little blip is tilting the scales back the other way. If there's a lot fewer buyers because people are skittish, that's just a huge opportunity for those who are not skittish to go out there and make offers, perhaps below asking price, or certainly not be in a situation where they're doing a multiple offer scenario. They might be the only ones.
I would think that I would probably consider this market more of an equilibrium type of market,
right?
You know, which is a, you know, we were in a very healthy market before all this kind of came up.
Right.
And I have no reason to believe that it would not snap back into even a better market. We certainly have inventory issues, and I think that, but here we are, what is tomorrow? What is today? The 19th or 18th?
18th, yeah.
2 days is today, from today is spring, and that's typically the beginning of the selling season. So hopefully
but not this year.
Well,
it's been gangbusters.
No, it has been, and it has been amazing. But and a lot of that is because of the interest rate environment.
Right.
You know, but now it's even better. I mean, my brother in Austin, Texas, just refinanced his VA loan at 2.75%.
Wow.
30-year fixed. I mean, that's insane. That is basically free money. Now, I don't know. I think it's in the low threes for conventional right now, but that's still amazing. So keep those things in mind and, you know, take a breath, you know, and just, you know, consider the idea of this new form that's available to you if you are in the market. That you're going to be able to extend those time frames and get through this. So,
all right. Don't forget, email me, leewmiller@gmail.com, and throw your hat in the ring for a no charge, no obligation, comparable market analysis of your property. And that's pretty much anywhere 100-mile radius in Napa. So, and that's about the coverage area that the station does too. So, all right, any last little minute pearls that you want to share before our time is up?
Other than, you know, when this situation corrects itself, come see us in Yountville.
We had to postpone our little grand opening.
We did, and
we don't have a date yet.
Well, you know, we were going to do it and kind of coincide it with the Taste of Yountville, and they shut that down and a number of other things down, and we had to kind of follow suit because it didn't really make much sense. But yeah, keep your ears open and about, you know, whatever. We're going to come up with a date. We're just going to kind of play it by ear right now. But come see us. You know, Yountville is right in the middle of the valley, and we have some of the most amazing wineries and restaurants, and we're right in the middle of them. So, well,
and I'll be sure to be plugging that date as soon as we have that date. I don't know, probably be June or July or whenever.
Yeah.
Whenever things are all safe, and I'll be putting that out over the air and make sure that we have lots of visitors just to come toast you as the new owners and have a glass of wine and some food on us and talk real estate in an environment that you're not going to get pounced on by some car salesman.
No.
Kind of a, you know, most realtors are not like that. Unfortunately, some are. And so we get that reputation.
Not us.
You want to buy? You want to sell? You want to buy?
Not us.
You want to sell? That's not us. So I'll just close with reiterating what I've said numerous times after 34 years in the corporate world, and always being a top producer and enjoyed a lot of success in the corporate world. I never got the satisfaction in the corporate world that I get from helping somebody buy or sell real estate. And it's just especially for a first time home buyer, when they just look at you like you're the smartest guy in the whole world because they're so unfamiliar with the contracts and all of the nuances of the transaction. And man, it's just such a great feeling to help somebody through a real estate transaction that, you know, it's not that pat on the back of good job, Lee, what are you going to do for us next year for quota and all of the things associated like that, that people in the corporate world are very familiar with. So, all right, that is all the time that we have. Thanks for joining us for another edition of All Things Napa. Remember to live each day of your life as if your legacy matters, because it absolutely does.